I'm glad I'm here. Amen. Thank the Lord for you being in the services today. And we had a great time yesterday with LaVon and Trudy in celebration of those who came. And I thank the Lord for them. You pray for them. And I thank the Lord for them and their family. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. I hope you will come back tonight, be here. This will be the first time Brother Ben and his family have been with us by themselves. The Rochester family has been here, and Brother Scott and his family have been coming for the last several years on Thursday night during camp meeting. But as Brad said, the family now, each family member just about has their own ministry. And what a blessing that is. What a heritage for Harold and Joyce. And I remember that old rock altar where he, years ago, they started taking rocks in there in the woods and praying, and then they built up a rock altar. They took a rock every time they'd go pray. And one of the kids wrote a song and about one of those rocks was me, praying for me. But they are blessed. They're a very talented, gifted family. You'll enjoy them tonight. I'm looking forward to them being here in the service at 6:30 tonight. Amen. And then Wednesday morning, of course, we'll be back in the Wednesday morning service with our folk who come on Wednesday morning. I really appreciate Brother Brad. And last week, I know you had a great time and celebration of birthdays. And we'll be here on Wednesday morning. And of course, then on Wednesday night, we'll be sharing again also from the book of Matthew chapter 5. We're looking at this great Sermon on the Mount, 5, 6, and 7. Two Sundays ago, I shared a message on the light. And I'm going to finish that message this morning. So I hope you'll take your Bible, look with me, please, in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And again, this is the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7. And so many wonderful passages of Scriptures are given. I want you to look in this passage of Scripture and notice what he said, first of all, in verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. You remember I preached one message on the salt. And as I went through the Scriptures, I found there's no end to the salt messages that we could deal with on salt. But salt is a preservative. We are here to preserve. And the one reason, I was talking to Brother Charles Ray Ennis last night, and we were talking about the condition of this nation. He said, I really don't understand why God had dropped the hammer on us, why he hadn't judged all this sin. And we agreed that we believe we are under the judgment of God, but the final time when the hammer falls is coming, I believe, very soon. But the only reason right now we have not in the tribulation period is because of you and because of Christians in this nation. And he's not going to send that final judgment, what's called the time of Jacob's trouble, in the tribulation period until he takes all the saints of God out, takes the salt out. And that day is coming. But until then, we are preservative. And we seasoning. We add spice to life. Amen. And Christians are related or identified as salt so many different ways. But drop down now to verse number 14, where our thoughts will be today and two Sundays ago. I'm thankful for Brother Nathaniel coming. He had called and he's trying to go by all his supporting churches, and it worked out that he was going to be here last Sunday with us, and he did a good job. Please pray for him. Anytime you're in a transition ministry like he is, it's exciting and fearful all at the same time. And so you pray for him. But chapter 5 of the book of Matthew, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, and the word candle and light or related words in the Greek text, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you this morning for the wonderful singing. Thank you, our Father, for the lighthouse of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the lighthouse that is this church in this community, and that is the individuals in this church. I thank you, our Father, that we are light. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost now would speak to my heart once again, to the heart of my friends gathered here and those vast audience in the media audience today. God, I pray if there's a lost man, a woman, boy, a girl here, that they trust Christ. And God, I pray that every saint of God would be encouraged and helped today. Our Father, I'm thankful that I can bow before you today and acknowledge the fact that, Lord, there's no good thing in me. And apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God, nothing, our Father, is going to take place here today. But God, I am so thankful for your presence. And I know, God, that you're here. And God, speak to my heart. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over this congregation. And God, I pray that you'd encourage our hearts and cause us to be more like you. Help us to be salt and light. And God, will thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. In these two different passages I've just read to you, in the first place, he said we're salt. We are relevant. We're very important. Saints of God are in God's purpose and plan, very important. Brother Barry dealt with that again this morning. I was telling him as he's reading the text and talking about the Apostle Paul. The Bible says in Ephesians, we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work. God created the Apostle Paul physically, but he redeemed him and saved him. And then throughout all of his life, he did a creative work in him. He had a purpose for him. And God used him to be a light to the Gentiles. And then Paul, in turn, I'll read it to you in a minute, he said to those Gentiles that you are light. As our Lord said, they are light. And so Christians are related as being light. As salt, we're relevant. As salt, we influence society. But as light, we are radiant. We're to shine. We're to give forth light. I'll deal with the purpose of that light in a few moments. You remember when I dealt with it last week, the last time I dealt with you, we talked about the Lord Jesus Christ and talked about God. And it said this in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge and of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He said, God calls light to come out of darkness. Now, we send light into darkness to dispel the darkness, but God is so omnipotent, so powerful, that he causes the light to come out of darkness. And our hearts were dark, black with sin, and the Holy Spirit of God came inside of us, and he is the light of the world. And then we become lights because his light radiates out of us and into the world around us. And we have that radiance about us. There's something different about those people who spend time with Jesus. I mean, there's something about them. There's something about them in their physical features even. The joy that's on their face. The presence of God glows out of them. You remember what it said about the disciples? And they were looked at and they considered by the general population to be ignorant, unlearned men. But it says when they looked on them, they were ignorant, unlearned men, but they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, much like Moses when he went up on the mountain. And when he came down, he had to put a veil over his face because he'd been in the presence of Jesus. And so that light shines. But we don't have any light of our own. It is the Lord Jesus Christ inside of us. And one of the verses I shared with you last week was Psalms 18 and verse 28, where he said this, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. And so God lit our lamp. In those Jewish homes, much like it is today, there were some things that you could find in every home. In every one of those homes, you could find a container that they kept their grains in, and it was in various types. Most of the time, it was a woven basket, and that's what they used when Ruth went through and gleaned. She gleaned in a wooden basket, a woven basket, much like the old cotton baskets and white wood baskets that you can find, white oak baskets that are woven. And those wooden baskets that they carried, and they used those, they utilized those, they took them to the market. I'm going to say more about that in a few moments. But that basket carried the bread and other things. But here he said, you have, not only would you find something like that, but an essential in every home was a lamp. Not an oil lamp like you and I used to have, some of us who are old enough, and you remember the oil lamps, and you'd have that oil lamp in it, and you'd have a wick and a globe, and you would turn it on. And so Their lamps were much different. Most of the time, all the time, they were made out of pottery. They could be in various shapes. Regina's got several of them. We've got some that are almost like an enclosed little pitcher type looking thing. And you could pour oil in the top of it, and then there was a wick. Sometimes they're more like an open bowl, but it had one end that was kind of pinched together, and they'd have the wick that went in there. And so there was the earthen part of it, and then there was the oil part of it, and then there was the wick part of it. And when it was ignited, you'd have the flame. And so he said in this passage of Scripture, you are the light of the world. Now, I want you to notice that, if you will, please, that little verb, are, you are, state of being verb. I hope I got that right if there's any English teachers here. But he said, you are. He did not say you are to become the light of the world, but you are the light of the world. When you say, Brother Billy, I'm not such a dedicated Christian, well, I would hope that we'd all want to be better. I'd hope we'd be better dedicated. But I'm going to tell you right now, you, as Christians, are the light of the world. If you know Christ, the Bible said, no man, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. And so every Christian has the Spirit of God living inside of them. Now, we may not let Him shine through us like we ought to all the time, but even at that, in the society you're living in America in 2022, your dim light is much brighter than any light in the darkness of this age. But He said, you are. Your life, it is your being, your presence. It is the Spirit of God living inside of you. Wherever you go, you don't cut it on and off like a flashlight. You're not light over here and darkness over here. But wherever you go, you're light. And our desire ought to be that light would shine brighter, that we could be a better witness for Christ. But you are the light of the world. And so that lamp, there are several components to it. First of all, it is the earthen part of it. It is the pottery part of it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, he said this, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? The temple is the dwelling place. And so our body is where the Spirit of God lives inside of us, and it is our lamp. He said in that passage of Scripture I read to you in Psalms 18, verse 28, for you will light my lamp. The lamp. We are that lamp. We are that earthen vessel. But inside of that is the Spirit of God. I quoted the verse a while ago. If any man has not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. Throughout the Bible, the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. And the anointings, all the anointings of the priests and the tabernacle and everything else, they used anointing oils. And that was a type of the Holy Spirit of God. When they anointed the king, like when they anointed David and Saul and others, when they were anointed, that was a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. When they anointed the priest, that was a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God is in every believer. And so we have our earthen vessel, and then we have our the oil of the Holy Spirit inside of us. But then there is the wick. In chapter 30 of the book of Proverbs, it says this, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And the candle, like I say, the word can be translated lamp or candle. We think about a candle as being a wax with a wick in it. But most of the time, theirs was actually oil, olive oil most of the time. And it was a lamp type situation. But he said this, he said the lamp or the spirit of man is the lamp of God. And so that wick is a part, represents the Holy Spirit of God, and our wick is in that, and it has been absorbing that oil, and to the point that it gets filled with the oil. And you know how, remember how it used to work? You'd crank the little wick down into the oil, and then when you crank it up, the oil that had been soaked into that wick is ignited. And so it is that our spirit, that spirit man, Paul said you have two natures. You have an old nature and you have a new nature. And he said we're to feed that new nature, not the old nature. But we're to walk in the Spirit, and we're to put off the old man and put on the new man. And so that wick represents. Now, if you know anything at all about wicks, you know this. It has to be trimmed. It has good oil. It's in a good vessel, and it has good oil. And it could be lit, but if it's not trimmed, it doesn't burn properly. In fact, if it's got too much carbon or burnt ash on the wick, it will smoke up that globe, and the light will hardly shine out of it. And so it is with us, that when we begin to get things in our heart and life that ought not to be there, it has to be trimmed. You need to get clean. He said, be ye holy, if I'm holy. If you want the light of God to shine out of you, you've got to have a clean wick, the spirit of man. You need to be clean in the heart, right with God. You need to trim it, get rid of it, take away anything out of it that would hinder the work of God. You say, Brother Bitter, what are you talking about? Well, it could be anything. It could be that we are filling our minds and hearts with television. If you're like I am, you know that you can't hardly watch anything on television anymore without a certain type of agenda being forced on you every day of your life. And the world is trying to condition you and fix you to where you believe like they do. And he said, you have to gird up the loins of your mind. He said, set no evil thing before your eyes. Why? Because it will cause your wick to not burn properly. You don't give off the right light. If you got the wrong thing in your mind and wrong thing in your heart, and not only the outside influences, but we fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And inside, you may have envy. You may have an unforgiving spirit. You may have a lustful spirit. Well, all of those would cause your light not to burn like it ought to, and it has to be trimmed. You have to get it out. How do you get it out? The Bible said, like David, search my heart, see if there be any wicked way in me, and get honest with God. Ask God to forgive you and to purge you. And then not only do you need to be clean, but you need to be filled. He said, be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, why did he use that comparison of wine and being filled with the Spirit of God, the oil of God? Why? Because wine, alcohol, it will control your emotions. It will control your actions. If a person drank enough, it would affect him. I think I told you when I was in the hospital, when I was in high school, I had to have my appendix out in my junior year of high school, I think. And there was a guy in the room with me. I remember his first name was Roger. And he was having some problems. But during the time we began to talk about some things, and he began to tell me about his brother. They had a hunting club down on the Roanoke River. And they were down there one night, and they, of course, were hunting, and they were staying overnight. And you know, they wasn't saved. They had plenty of alcohol in there. And he said, my brother, everybody in there were friends. He said, but my brother had too much to drink, and he got drunk. And they were playing cards, and he got mad at the fellow, one of his buddies playing cards with him. And he thought that he was cheating. And he said he grabbed up a gun to shoot another fella, and his brother was there, and his brother darted in front of the guy with the gun to stop him, and he shot him accidentally. He meant to shoot the other fella, but he said he never would have done that. He never would have done that if he hadn't been drunk. And the world, you get drunk on the world, it'll cause you to do things that will hurt yourself and hurt other people. And he said, don't be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God will control you. And so you're the light of the world. But that wick's got to stay clean, and it's got to stay filled. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit of God and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. But then the flame is so important. You could have the vessel, and you could have the oil, and you could have the wick, but it has to be lit. And he said, the Spirit of God will light my lamp, he said. It's the Lord Jesus Christ in us. He said in John, he said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That is the Lord Jesus Christ shining out of us. And so what people ought to see is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the power of the Son of God. People need to see Jesus in you. And the light that shines out of you is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us quickly to talk about the function of the light. What is the light all about? Look at what he said in this passage of Scripture. He said, ye are the light of the world. And he goes on and it talks about the light shining. The light has to shine. Verse 16, let your light so shine. Our purpose as a child of God is for our light to shine. What are we to shine? How are we to shine? He said, you're to shine, first of all, privately. Look what he says in this passage of Scripture. He talks about the light of the world in verse 4. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick that it giveth light unto all the house. First of all, your light ought to shine at home. I know a lot of people that at church put on a good show, but it's not true at home. And their kids see it and their grandkids see it. And you ought to let your light shine in front of your wife, in front of your husband. I remember Brother Avery Rogers telling the story about he was a pastor and he preached a lot of revivals like I've been doing. But he was gone a lot preaching other places. And Mordecai Ham, I believe it was coming to his city to preach. He's the man who preached when Brother Avery got saved. He's also the man who preached when Billy Graham got saved. And he encouraged his wife, please go hear him preach while I'm out of town. And so when he came back home and he came to end, one of the first things he asked was, what did you think about Brother Mordecai Ham? And she said, oh, Avery, I wish you could have been here. She said, he was as much like Jesus as anybody I've ever known or ever met. And Brother Avery said, my heart was delighted, and then it was crushed all of a sudden as well. He said, when I got a minute, I slipped off into my office, and he said, God, you've called me to preach. You've called me to pastor. But Lord, I would pray that my wife could say of me that as I'm as close to like Jesus was as anybody she knew. And your family ought to think you as much like Jesus as anybody that I know. That is husbands and wives. He said, you let your light shine at the house in front of your children. When it says to train up your children the way they should go, it's not always with your mouth. It's with your life. I see little kids that's hardly 2 years old with a phone in their hand. And I watched the other night, and a little baby there in the fellowship hall. Anybody had a cell phone, he wanted to get his hands on it. And in fact, somebody, he got somebody's purse and they came over there and were going to give him some money. He reached to get the zipper to unzip it. He knew that you had to unzip that to get to where the money was at. He's just hardly even 2 years old. They watch you. And your kids are watching you, people around you, and what you do at the house. How's your light shining around the house? It ought to shine privately. But then he goes on, he said, I'll notice what he said this, not only that you let your light shine, but he said this, that light, verse number 14, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Your light ought to shine publicly. Some of you have been up to Brother Tom Robertson's. We haven't done it in quite a few years. But when we first started going up to Brother Tom's a long time ago now, one of the first things we did is he took us up on the Skyline Drive at night after the services. And you go way up on top of that mountain and down below is the Shenandoah Valley. And there's the little town of Luray and then some other town, Front Royal. But you're way high on the mountain and you look down and you see those lighted cities, those towns. It is absolutely beautiful. Of course, you know, there's all different color lights down there. It looks like a Christmas tree. And I was thinking about that when I was reading this passage of Scripture. A city that's set on a hill can't be hid. Those lights dispel darkness. They shine all across there. And when those lights are shining, my dear friend, you can see it that way. That's the way the church ought to be. This ought to be a lighthouse. And thank God it is. I wish you could go with me to some of the churches that I've been preaching in. Most of them are struggling. Most of them are just dragging in and dragging out. And what God's done here and what God's doing here is unique. I was talking to Brother Charles Reyes again last night, and he was talking about it's unbelievable what God's done here from across the road. You're the light of the world. You're the light of this community. And when people come into this building, they sense the light of God in your life, the joy of the Lord in your soul, that you are that. Without speaking, but you certainly ought to speak to everybody, like Brad said a while ago. You speak to one another and speak to guests and visitors. But I'm going to tell you, publicly, we ought to be lights as a city, and then as individuals out in general public. You ought to be light when you go in the Dollar General. Now, I have to work on that, and particularly when I go through the drive-thru at Taco Bell at 210. I backslide every time I go through there. I have to fast and pray before I go through the Taco Bell line. My wife is nodding her head. I cannot understand why. If you order something, they sell every day. If you get a Cajun filet combo at Bojangles, you get a tea, half sweet, half unsweet, or whatever, and you get French fries, and you get a sandwich, and just three things. And 50% of the time it's right. I don't understand that. If you're doing it 10,000 times a day, you ought to, remember. But anyhow, what I'm saying is this, and I'm talking to me now, we ought to be a light publicly. You go in and grab something. Remember, whoever you meet and wherever you see is no accident. God had somebody there, somebody else in line, somebody else somewhere else. They ought to see the glory of God on your life. Now, how do you do that? Up in Pennsylvania, we go to something called Sight and Sound. And I was thinking about that yesterday when I was reading back over my notes and praying. Sight and Sound. Sight and Sound. I wondered why they called it that. Is because you'll see visually and you'll hear audibly the message. And people ought to be able to sight and sound you. They ought to see it. He said, God had brought me up out of a hard pit, set my feet on the side of the rock, established my going. He put a new song in my heart. And here's the amazing thing about this statement. He said, He put a new song in my heart, and many shall see it and fear. See a song, not just hear it, but see it. And they need to see that light in you, living for God, conscious of the fact that I'm representing Christ, my disposition, my speech, everything, but my sight. They ought to be able to see Christ in me, and then sound. They ought to hear me speak as a Christian. They ought to hear me speak with kindness and with compassion and with concern. If I ask them, how's their day going? Listen. And if that's not going well, say, can I pray with you? Could I pray with you right now? Sight and sound. The function of that light, it is to be displayed. It is to shine privately and publicly. But then it has purpose. Notice what he said down in verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here's the purpose of my light shining. It's not to shine on me. It's not so they'll think I'm a good guy or you're a good lady or man. It is so they'll think He's a good Savior. They're to see Jesus in us, and they will manifest Christ and make sure that He knows us. What does that light do? That light, first of all, dispels darkness. There's a lot of darkness spiritually in this world, but we're light, and we can dispel that darkness with the truth of the gospel. It also does this. It discloses dangers. It reveals danger. Light is to keep you from falling or getting in danger. And so the Lord Jesus Christ inside of you, that's for you as well. But it's for others too. As light, we reveal dangers. Well, understand this. The wages of sin is death. There's a great danger in sin. There is pleasure in sin for a season. You can't deny that. They say, well, I'm having a good time. I'm partying hard and all this business. Well, that's true. But we have to expose the danger. There's a payday someday. One of these days you'll die. One of these days you'll have to answer to God. Light dispels darkness. Light exposes danger, but also light gives direction. You and I are to direct people to the Lord Jesus Christ and show them the Savior. But now quickly, I want to do this real quick. Notice the failure of the light. He says this in verse 14, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ mentions a couple of things here. He talks about this idea of the light. In the first place, he talks about it being put under a bushel. If you go to the book of Luke, he also talks about that, but he also talks about lighting it and putting it under the bed. Two different places, bushel. Here's the failure. What causes our light not to shine like it ought to? Remember a while ago when I was talking to you about the items they had every Jewish home, one of them they had a basket, or here it's referred to as a bushel. It's a basket's what it is. It identifies work. It's what you go get your bread with. They'd go down to the market. If they didn't make it home, they'd go get bread in it. They'd get grain in it. They'd get other things in it. It symbolizes work and providing and all those type things. And the Lord Jesus Christ said this, remember, a man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What is it that causes our light not to shine? The bushel represents busyness or work. And there is a burden to busyness. Sometimes we get too busy for church. We get too busy for God. We get too busy to pray, and too busy to read the Word of God. And all of those things would contribute to the dimness of our light. If we're not praying, if we're not reading the Word of God, if we're not assembling with other believers and worshiping like He told us to do, our light will get dim because of busyness and business. So many things going on, and I know how you are. The Bible said in the last days, Satan will wear out the saints. And 99% of the time, if I ask people how they're doing, if they're honest, they'll say, I am give out. I'm drained physically, emotionally, spiritually. This week has been crazy at work. I have to deal with traffic every day going back and forth to Raleigh. And busyness will drain us of our light. And that's why He said, be still and know that I'm God. There's times that you have to get into your closet. There's times that you got to spend with God. But then He said, do men light a candle and put it under their bed? Bed speaks of rest. On this occasion, laziness. The Bible says the slothful man, there's a slothful man. And he turns back and forth on his bed. He's just too lazy to get up and do anything. The Bible warns us in these last days about us being idle, about laziness so far as the things of God are concerned. He said we ought not to faint. We need to keep on keeping on for Jesus. And so the light fails if we get too busy or too burdened. It also fails if we just get too lazy. People run all the time, and then when they come home, they're exhausted. Now, that's maybe considered something different, but the truth of the matter is I've never yet not felt like coming to church, and when I came to church, I didn't leave feeling better. If you want some good rest, you come to the house of God. Now, I don't mean you sit here and sleep while I'm preaching, but if you come, you'll be amazed at how God will quicken your body if you get to the house of God. And be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And the only way I could do what I do is through the Spirit and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And no one else can do it either. You can't do a thing. You can't even walk without Him holding your hand. But you need to trust Him and walk with Him. Let me just kind of, I read a little story this week that blessed me. This little boy goes into church with his granny and has beautiful stained windows. And in the stained glass, it depicts different Bible characters. And so he goes in and you know how little boys are. He's looking all around and he looks and saw these beautiful stained windows and these different people. And he said, "Granny, who are all these people?" And she said, "Well, I don't know who all of them are, but they're in the Bible." And so they sit down. And while she's singing or doing whatever, he's looking at those people. In a few minutes, he pulls on his granny's dress. And she said, "What?" He said, "I know who they are." And she said, "Who are they?" He said this, "They are the people that let the light shine through. They're the people who let the light shine through. You're the people who let the light shine through. Not I, but Christ liveth in me." Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed, Jesus said, "You're the light of the world." You are. You already are. It's just a matter of how is your light shining. People are going to look at you. They're going to see you. They'll hear you if they see something that gets their attention. If they see your life, they see your commitment to Christ. They watch how you deal with people. They watch to see if you're kind, if you're a forgiving person, if you're a caring person, if you have compassion, if you live a life that honors Christ, you're not engaged in the things of the world, you're not the one who tells dirty stories or listens to them or use profanity at work. You're light. They're watching you. Watching you. When the Lord chose to take our oldest daughter to heaven, she died of leukemia. The day we were going to bury her, my mama called about my brother Howard and said, "Billy Howard's coming over there. And I think he's under conviction. He's been crying this morning." When he came in, me and Regina's daddy met him and we sat in the living room. We just talked. He expressed his sorrow about Christy dying. And then in a few minutes, he said, "Billy, I've seen something in you and Regina and the folks from this church," that's Calvary Baptist Church, our home church. He said, "I've seen something in you and Regina and the folks from this church that I don't have." And I said, "Howard, the only thing I have that you don't have is Jesus." Does anybody ever look at you and see something they don't have if they don't know Christ? That's what it means to be a light. You're a testimony. You are a testimony. Your life is. We need to just keep it clean. We need to seek God's wisdom. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm just wondering this morning, if the Spirit of the living God has dealt with anybody's heart, that maybe your light is not shining as brightly as it ought to. Maybe you've kind of got caught up so much in busyness that you hadn't been faithful to the house of God or to reading the Word of God or to prayer, and you know your light's not shining like it ought to. He said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he'll cleanse us like cleaning that globe of that old oil lamp, and the light will shine brighter out of it then. You have that joy in your heart that you had one time before. You'd have that glow of God on you. And I've had to go through that on several occasions in my life and experience. Maybe that you've just kind of got spiritually lazy. And there's a dullness about you. You don't sense the presence of God. You ought to ask, "Oh God, I pray you'd light my lamp. I pray, God, that you'd fill me afresh. I pray, God, that you'd help me to be busy about the Master's business, doing what you want me to do." But if you're not saved, the Bible said that you are like a lamp, like those five virgins in the Bible. And they said, "We have no oil." We have no oil. It means they had no Holy Spirit of God. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of His. But He wants you to be saved. He loved you and He died for you, gave His life for you. He is the light of the world that's shining in your heart. And then once you trust Him, He comes into your heart and He shines out of you. The people that let the light shine through. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. I know we've got a little bit of different setup here this morning, but there are places around these front pews that you could come just to pray or sit or stand. But I'd like for us this morning to ask, when you walk in a church house, and you can look in the face of people and tell that they are just spiritually drained. They're missing something. They know they need something. That's what I see in some of these churches I go in, and I pray, oh God, let me be a light. I pray, God, that they'd get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. There'd be a glow on their face, a joy in their heart. They'd be glad that they came to the house of the Lord. There's not a drudgery to them. And God, I pray, God, that You'd send real revival. And God, I pray that for us here this morning. God, I pray, God, that You do that in every life. God, You want us to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You want us to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You want it to be not us, but Christ that shines out of us, that they might see our good works and glorify God, glorify our Father which is in heaven. And God, I pray You'd help people this morning, to scrooge up closer to You this morning. Ask You to purge their mind and heart. Help them, our Father, in their life to be more disciplined about their Christian responsibilities. Praying, reading the Word of God, attending the house of God, being a witness in the community. God, if there's a man or woman, a boy or girl here this morning, I pray, our Father, You draw them by Your grace that they might come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, friends, while we're standing, I encourage Christians to make their way around this front just to pray. If you're here and you're not saved, I wish you'd come and trust Christ this morning. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you by faith trust Him, He can forgive you and cleanse you of all your sin, make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And I encourage you to come. While others are coming right now, Brad will sing a verse or two of a song. If I can help you pray with you, I'd be glad to do that. But while we're praying, while we're singing, Lord, help people now to do what they'll be glad for all eternity that they've done. Save the lost. And God calls Christians to be right with You, and we'll thank You and praise You. God bless our friends now. God, get glory today. I pray that they might all see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Just obey the Lord right now. God, the Holy Ghost speaks to your heart. Brad, sing.